Welcome to the round three correction week Supercoach Coach podcast. I'm Marcus and I'm joined this week by FB Donkey.
G'day, mate. Some people say that this is the biggest trading week of the year, the most important week.
How do you feel? This is the first time we've talked since the first lockout. Are you happy with your team?
I think so. I'm ranked in the top 10,000, so that's like a decent start. I had a bad week this week with all of my midfield premiums under firing, but yeah, fairly happy with my team, I think. And it's probably better to have that two-week break and get two rounds worth of information rather than trying to discuss it off one. That can be quite difficult because there's a lot of outliers when you only see one round of footy, and there's a lot of outliers when you see two rounds of footy. We haven't got a heap of information in at this stage.
We won't do a full team reveal, but do you want to hit us with the highlights, the main structure, any oddities that you ended up going with that's really a mark stamp of your team?
Sure. So I went with five premium defenders. Jordan Ridley looks pretty good so far. Callum Mills has had a great first couple of weeks. Tom Stewart a bit quiet. I ended up going Doherty over Short because I needed money and regretting that one for sure. That one looks pretty obvious to have Jaden Short in your team, but the others are pretty good. Jordan Clark at D6 is doing okay, although I wouldn't mind having Highmore on field after last week. Midfield, I got Lockie Neal in the end. Not too worried there at the moment. Oliver was a great pick. Really underperformed with Cripps, Taranto, and Zach Merritt this week. Got all the good rookies like Powell and Golden and Campbell. Decent rookies on the bench, so Brockman, Berry, and Jordan. Ended up with the rookie at R2, so Flynn and Meek. Decent start with Flynn. Had Danger, traded him to Dusty. DeGoey's probably my weird pick. A bit disappointed because he scored just 99 with four goals on the weekend. And then have Zeeble, Danaher, Campbell, and rookies. So yeah, I think the team's all right. I wish that I had the guts to start Andy Brayshaw over Cripps, but I'd had Cripps all preseason. I wasn't going to ditch him with a week to go. Yeah, Cripps is probably the big disappointment. And Taranto was obviously terrible on the weekend, but the Giants were awful. And not having any Doggies midfielders so far is turning out not fun. Like, I don't really want to watch the Doggies games. There's a lot of points going to those Doggies midfielders.
They play West Coast, Collingwood too. So it's not like bad teams. Port Adelaide played North and Essendon, who both look like potential bottom four contenders. Sorry to say that.
I'm happy, man.
You're going for the number one draft pick.
Not even. I don't know. I don't know whether Bombers supporters out there had some expectations on our season this year, but play the kids. We're obviously rebuilding. It's okay to lose. Let's just try and get some systems happening.
Port Adelaide players, a bit easier to stomach not having Butters scored 160.
Crazy.
Obviously, hasn't come up against tough opposition yet, but the Bulldogs, far out, you're right. I do worry a little bit, especially the player that I really wish I had, Josh Dunkley, Mark.
Yeah, same here. Just because he's available as a forward, right?
Like, seems obvious.
McRae could score more.
In hindsight. Yeah,
you say that, but like I only had one full premium forward, and that was Danger, and he sucked round one, which was disappointing. But like it was Danger, Dusty, or Dunkley, and I started with Danger and ended up with Dusty, and I'm pretty happy with Dusty.
Yeah, I had Zorko instead of Dunkley, so I'm really ruining that, especially because I had cash in bank. So anyway, let's move on to happier topics, and we're going to cover our Patreon top scorer for the week, and that is Zach's team, Peyton's Generals, with a score of 24-34, absolutely massive. That's pushed him up into the top 500 at 358th overall. So very exciting for him. That's not enough to take the number one ranked Patreon mantle from Heath's Herbivores, though, who scored 23-48 to push him up into 140th. Very exciting scores from our Patreons. I think we've got 10 in the top 1,000. Shout out to Heath, who's currently leading and the contender for our $200 cash prize at the end of the year, should he manage to stay on top for another 21 rounds. And if you haven't heard already, a quick plug for our Patreon. So patreon.com/supercoachcoach. We don't always get a heap of subscribers join on after the season proper, but we can promise you new and great bonus content is coming out every single week. Just because you missed out on some preseason bonuses doesn't mean you shouldn't jump on and get on board, especially if you're doing well. You're still eligible for our group prize if you join up with us before the halfway mark of the season. So If you're interested in having a crack and getting involved in the community, or even if you're a new subscriber and you're interested in supporting the show, patreon.com/supercoachcoach. We'll be recording a bonus episode after this show, Mark.
Awesome.
We'll get on to trade advice, and we'll start with the hot to drop players. There's a few players in our community that people are keen to talk about: Neil, Cripps, Taranto. And then talk about a few of the must-have players. If there's anyone that you think we should absolutely prioritize, Mark, to get into our teams. So a little bit to go through for this week's show. Why don't we start off with just some general advice, Mark? What do you reckon people should be focusing themselves on in correction trade week? And I think the teams that have made a few boo-boos, the path is a little bit more obvious, right? Like, you fix them, you bring in the guys that you missed out on. But there's a tendency in correction trade week, especially if your team's actually set up pretty well, to make some side swaps that, when you look back at the end of the season, can turn out to be sometimes a bit of a dud pick. I've side swapped rookies and had issues before, side swapped premiums before and had issues. So I suppose, yeah, some general advice, things to look out for, things to avoid, Mark.
I think that rookies come first. It's just like the preseason, right? You got to fix your rookies first. So if you've missed any of the key guys, we can talk about who they might be, like Goulden, Flynn, Jordan, Highmore, Campbell, Berry. Then it gets a bit more decision-making after that. So there's some less obvious ones that are still pretty good, like Powell, Rowe, Berry, those sort of guys. If you've missed those guys, you got to fix them first. That has to be a number one priority. And there'd have to be a reason why you were trading a premium. And it shouldn't just be scoring. There should be someone doesn't look right. Someone should have scored better. You've seen two games. And someone clearly has a role that's different than what you expected, potentially. Like Dunkley's a good example that he probably has a higher scoring role than we had anticipated in the preseason. But I think that there's definitely some traps out there. Like I said, right at the top of the show, we're still working off very limited information, and there are plenty of players averaging quite well right now that'll suck for the rest of the season, and some that are sucking now that'll average quite well for the rest of the season.
I think in general, that's pretty good advice, Mark. And I think the other thing to look out for is structure, right? It's not just the rookies, but structuring your team up to have the right rookies playing on field. That goes a long way to scoring decently at the start of the season. It's just making sure that you've got the right level of depth. And you talk about Tom Highmore, Mark. Ideally, you have him on field, but it's a counterbalance with, are there three defensive rookies that you actually want in your team? The sharp fall into that camp. Chapman just got a debut game. Can you consider him? There's things that you want to balance out from a structure point of view that also takes into account the right candidates that you want to bring in. But as much as you can, Campbell on field, Golden on field, the guy's averaging 80. Chad Warner is a great guy to have on field, obviously, at the moment. James Jordan, a few guys that have shown a couple of 70-plus games, and generally that's the best way to get bang for your buck at the start of the season. We all compare these premiums, but by the end of the season, oftentimes the point differential may be 10 points across the season per game, but when you work out the rookies, missing out on having a Golden on field can add up really quickly. Not that anybody would be making that mistake after a 136. I think his break-even's like negative 200-plus. Or minus, I should say. That's some sort of record, hey?
I guess that is like Michael Barlow territory. And Barlow was a mature ager, so unbelievable from a rookie. You can't expect that this is going to continue. Kind of sucks that they were in his first two games because they have the least effect on price. But yeah, at least we'll get some decent money out of him in the next few weeks, and he might be one of the first to upgrade.
Let's get on to some questions that we got from social media. The first one is from at Don's 20,001. He's hit a topic that's quite popular this week, and that's because a lot of people paid a huge amount of money for Lachie Neale. He's asking, what are the positives and negatives of trading Neale? Is it smart to avoid his massive price drop? I know you said, Mark, at the start that we need to look beyond scoring, but when you've picked the most expensive player and he's scored twice in the 70s and he's scheduled to drop 70,000 in 1 week, is that a time where you might break that rule and say, hey, here's an opportunity for me to deploy cash more efficiently, potentially have him as a early upgrade target after he's crated in price? Like, he's going to go down to 650 after this week, potentially.
So the positive negatives is a really interesting way of looking at it. I personally, I think that He was tagged really heavily on the weekend, which and scored okay in the last quarter. I think that the scoring is there for Lachie Neale. Potentially just a bad start. Could be wrong. So if I'm wrong on that and it continues for another 2 weeks, it'd be awesome to get rid of him now. My experience with trading out a player that's high priced to try and get them back is that Supercoach isn't designed for that. So we have limited trades. We have only 2 trades per week. I think trying to do that, you generally run out of trades, and trying to get Lachie Neale back. So say he drops to 615, 620. It's not going to be easy to pick him up in round 5 or 6 and trying to find the money to afford that with 2 rookies that have only had 2 or 3 price movement. Yeah. If your plan is to trade him out and then trade him back in when he's low 600s, I think that plan is likely to fail pretty often. He's only going to lose 100,000 there. It sucks. Like, I've been in this situation before. It totally sucks that now everyone is going to be able to pick him up cheaper that doesn't have him, and that'll give them an advantage over not having started him. But you've already copped that. Like, you've already copped the scores, and you're going to want him in your team anyway. So for me, it just feels right to keep him, really, pretty clearly. That's if he can bounce back. If he's not going to bounce back, then things get different. Mitchell looks really good. I guess it depends a little bit on who your target is, about who you're going to bring in, whether it's, I mean, Mitchell's a standout that I don't have. I'm not sure who else you might be bringing in. McRae or something like that could maybe fill the role a little bit better. Oliver's looked really good so far as well. I watched the game against Geelong, and I still have faith. Neale has bad games when he gets tagged. Surely people have got bigger problems than Lachie Neale.
Yeah, I probably do, but I don't have as big a price drop elsewhere on my field than Lachie Neale. So
we'll get to it in a bit, but I see Cripps as a bigger problem than Lachie Neale, because I can see some reasons why Lachie Neale maybe didn't smash it, but Cripps has had opportunities. Cripps should have done much, much better those first 2 weeks and hasn't, and that worries me.
Last question to round out the Neale conversation. Neale to Tex Walker. Tex Walker scored 140 twice. His break-even is like probably the opposite of that, I don't know.
So 114. So it's not even that crazy.
So if he scores 0, he goes up how much, Mark? So would you consider Neale to Tex Walker as this sort of crazy pivot move? We got a question about that from at GG Hippo on Twitter. Is that a legitimate strategy?
So 2020, when we had 3 trades a week and essentially close to unlimited trades, yeah, I think that's a reasonable strategy. 2021, where we've got 30 trades and we can only make 2 per week, I don't see that working out very well very often. I don't know. I guess you get a couple of 100,000 into your team. It creates a situation where you're bringing in a player that you have to upgrade later on, though. So you're making a trade, but you're creating a situation where you're going to need to use another trade later. We just don't have unlimited trades to be making moves like that. I guess it depends a little bit. Do you expect Neale to continue in his current form? If the answer to that is yes, then you probably should be trading him. If you think he's going to average closer to 100, you should totally be trading him. Do you expect Tex Walker to continue in his current form? Because he's just at that tricky price point. Like, he got 2 140s, but they mean less for his price than if he'd scored them in any other rounds for the season. The first 140 only affects 1 price movement. So it would take 250s from him, which, given the last 5 years of his career, 250s are right like in front of him. Although, given he has looked amazing, like just generally looked brilliant on the footy field, and I have not seen that Tex Walker for a long time. Realistically, at 300,000, if he was 200, he could go up 200,000 and you'd be right. At 300,000, you want him to go to like 500,000. That is really hard to do.
Yeah, I agree, Mark. Look, I think I needed this therapy. It's a Monday night when we're doing this. It's still stinging. My 15K dropped down the rankings. Thank you for being the old soul with ability to compartmentalize your otherwise frustrating feelings. I know I said that was the last question. One last one. At It's the Rain Man asked us, what about if you package up Neale and Dow and you bring in 2 potential keepers, Butters and Ridley? So it's about a bit of a restructure, but also you're deploying that capital hopefully effectively enough that you've saved yourself a Dow upgrade as well. Is that something that might change your propensity to trade?
Yeah, I think that one's closer, because you're making those 2 trades and that's it. And you're actually saving a trade later on, in a sense. So you're not costing yourself trades later. It seems like chasing points a little bit. Like, Ridley and Butters have had great starts. Is that likely to continue? Maybe, but maybe not at the same level that they've shown the first 2 weeks. Ridley doesn't seem to present a heap of value. Like, he seems pretty fairly priced. Butters does present a bit of value. So it'd be better if both of them presented some value and you were pretty sure on it. I guess there was the things that you mentioned about Port's draw earlier that could be a little bit deceptive in Butters' scoring. So that one interests me more. it's hard to know unless you're actually in the situation and you're sitting with your team and you're trying to think through it.
Yeah, look, at It's the Rain Man also included, that means missing out on Jordan or Warner. I think that probably would sway your advice, Mark. To your bigger point, are there bigger problems on field? So I should be prioritizing bringing on the right rookies, not really stuffing around with Neil to try and get another 100K of value here or there, as much as it's painful and we have to stomach it together. Well, I'm glad you're on the ride with me, Mark.
Say you do a rookie that's not playing to Warner, as an example. That trade's probably going to make you 150, 200K and get you extra points on field. Whereas like Neil to Mitchell or whatever gets you 100K. It's limited to 100K. You don't get more than that. And then you might end up with the same points on field.
These are the types of trick trades, right? The trap trades where it looks so good now, but you can easily see Neil outscoring, outpointing Mitchell for the rest of the season. The potential is still there. All right, I've digested. I can move on. I'll keep Neil, which means that I've now got a trade to deal with a real trash, Mark. Unwashed Harold on Twitter has asked about, do we keep the faith in Cripper or show him the door? Now, us podcast hosts have a bit of a group chat going on Twitter, and I think I saw Dunny post a tweet by Sam Edmund just before we jumped on this. Apparently, the guy's getting bloody injections to get through the game, and he'd be out for 4 to 6 weeks if we weren't in the guts of it. What the hell? He needs to go, right? That's a real problem.
Yeah, and that I didn't have that information on hand before you started talking, but I did hear whispers that he was maybe injured. And that's kind of what I was referring to before, that Neil and Cripps are a little bit different. That Neil, I can see improving, but Cripps just should have done better in those games. Like, he faded so hard in that first game. He was doing really well in the first half. Should have scored more against Collingwood. The situation was there for him to score. He wasn't being tagged or anything like that. And he just hasn't quite looked up to standard. There looks like there's something wrong, a bit like there was last year. And carrying an injury would explain that. It looked like there was a reason to get rid of him. And that information, to me, considering how it hampered him last year, means that I will almost certainly be trading Cripps this week.
I see Cripps' disappointing start, sure, but at the price point, he just has so much room to improve that at some point I figured, oh, I'll just be able to get rid of him opportunistically. Somebody will hit a 50, they'll drop in price. Maybe a Tom Mitchell of a shit game, I'll be able to sideswap him. Maybe sideswap him around the buys. He's round 13, so you get to sideswap into a round 12 player. But this sort of news means, yeah, I think he's just got you cut the losses, even with the fact that his price points, it's not high enough that you need to cull him this week. If he didn't have injury news, I would definitely be leaning towards saying, give him some time, wait for his 170 game. Like, even him playing shit, if he can spike one big game and shoot up in price when somebody else has had a poor game, that's your opportunity. You want to buy low, sell high, right? Like, even in a player that you're trying to sideswap. But this news is almost certainly exiting my team this week. Plus,
yeah, I hear what you're saying, Doherty, but I think that
if you have Williams, if you have Walsh, more reasons to potentially ditch him.
So what you're saying is Carlton is shit.
What I'm saying is what we said at this preseason is you don't want to be overexposed, and if you're going to pick some Carlton players, you might as well pick the ones that ain't injured.
And so before you were talking about might have looked to sideswap him later after he's 170 and someone else drops a 50 and stuff, but realistically that's not actually what happens. You would lose your upgrade cadence by doing that, right? Like, it's almost like a player getting injured by sideswapping premiums unless you're doing it quite late in the season. So if you don't sideswap a premium this week, the only reason you're ditching premiums is to cover an injury. You just cannot be trading premiums for the rest of the season. We've got to get back into 30 trade mindset. So there's a one-time chance to trade him. Even before the injury news, I was 92% chance of trading him. Post that, it's closer to 100.
Yeah, I still think early on in the season, there's the opportunity to do that a little bit. Lachie Neale goes down, he stays the same. But I hear what you're saying. Like, pragmatically, that maybe only works out half the time, maybe even less. Maybe I'm overestimating that.
I think this segues well to the next player that we were potentially going to talk about, which was Taranto. So Taranto sitting at 450K, and this is what you're trying to explain, is that at 450K, he's just not going to be losing money. And so, not like Neil, there's not like a pressure to get rid of him because he may underperform but still hold his price. And I guess you've got to remember that he scored 109 week one as well. And Giants were just so horrible against Freo. Maybe they'll be like that more often. I'm not sure. And maybe Taranto won't turn out to be a great pick and you'd rather you had someone else on your side. But he can probably tread water and hold his spot and be okay.
Yeah, that's precisely the point about Taranto, right? Like, it's why we also really recommend against these types of players, unless you see them being able to get to that premium scoring, right? Because when you take a risk on a 450K player, it's so hard to side swap them out. They're players that present more opportunity because they cost more money and are seriously underperforming. You're going to have injuries. You're going to want to pick up rookies, like Mark said, at the start of the show. That's where you should be focusing your effort. So you end up holding these Taranto types, these 450K players, for an abnormal length of time, just going, come on. But once you've started with them, your fingers are crossed. You're saying, come on. That's kind of where you're at. I think if your team is so set up that you don't have any worries in the world except for Tim Taranto, I don't necessarily have an issue with trading him out this week. I just don't see a lot of teams being in that scenario.
What about like a Taranto, Cripps to Taylor Walker, Impey sort of player?
So now we're getting into interesting territory. So we've covered Taylor Walker, but we're more skeptical on his ongoing scoring. You scroll down a little bit, the next best mid-pricer, you've got Jarman Impey, negative 62 off a 123. Jeez. He started with a 64 though, just keep that in mind. You got Tom Hickey, break even of negative 49. If you don't have Zeeble, I guess he seems a bit obvious. Lockie Young, who we've talked about briefly on the Patreon or the main show, def mid 200K for North Melbourne, negative 33. You got Chan Kwoth Jiath, negative 32, 266K, and he looked really good against Richmond on the weekend, averaging 94. Tom Atkins moved into the back line. A few people were looking at him, including Faz during the preseason. He's averaging 95, break even of negative 17. Isaac Cumming scored 100 this week, 80-something last week, taking a lot of kickouts, averaging 91, break-even of negative 12. You know, there's a heap of these backline options. Hayden Young, we haven't covered him. I don't think he's doing well enough to want to trade him in, especially because Nathan Wilson came back and is taking some of the kickouts. Quite a few mid-price sub-300K options were averaging 90-plus, Mark. Are there any that you go, let's hone in on these guys, they might be worthwhile picking up, or do you approach all of them with a sense of caution because rookies that have shown up stayed in team so far, and at the end of the day, they have more cash generation on offer than these 200K price players. So you could very much argue against bringing in a player that you still have to trade later on. You know, you were making that point previously. The other way to look at it, especially in the back line, there's quite a few backline options. Backline options seem to be scoring pretty well. As long as you get kickouts, you seem to be scoring pretty well. Like Isaac Cumming, but could this guy average 85 to 90 for the next few rounds? And at 288K, like, that's pretty good. That's a great opportunity to bring in a guy who will replace a rookie. We have rookies that are scoring 100 plus, but they won't consistently. You know, they'll be peppered with Rose 18 and whatever else. Is this an opportunity to pick up one of these sub 300K players and just go, you ripper? You know, save some cash, get some point scoring on field.
So for me, any of the guys over 250, if I'm bringing them into my side, I'd have to be bringing them in as a potential keeper. Like looking at the Ridley situation last year, you're bringing them in because they could go on a sick run and be a potential keeper in that spot. Given the fact that defenders seem to be scoring higher this year and you probably have a higher bar, that's pretty tricky for any of them to do. And I can't see any on that list that I would be confident of filling that level of scoring as a keeper. Just because I don't think that once they're over that 250, especially those higher 250 guys, it's really hard for them to make a lot of money. Now, as a result, probably the only one that really interests me at this stage is the one that interested me late in the preseason and I took him out at the last minute, Jarman Impey. And that's just because he's 212,000. And week one, I know he scored, what did you say, 64. He looked great. Like he passed the eye test. He looked really good. And then 120 odd on the weekend. And so probably could easily make 150 to 200K. And I guess the thing that I'm looking at is that's really changed from round one to round two is Scott, Rowe, Fullerton, there's a whole bunch of other forward rookies that are on your field that have actually scored terribly, like the 20 from Rowe. Whereas if it was round one, you'd be like 100. I'll get that every week. It'll be fine. I don't need someone like Impey. But sort of Impey versus Warner for that extra scoring on field probably gets a little bit interesting. But in general, trading into these mid prices is likely to be a trap.
So I don't have Impey. I don't have Warner. That's definitely, you know, one of the questions you could ask yourself this week. Warner seems like a shoe-in at 70K less. Would you be recommending I have a closer look at that?
I think so. I don't expect the Sydney rookies to continue to score so well. It's just massive outlier. There's no way that that can continue.
I still have some hesitation over Impey in general as a scorer, but then I have to bring it back to the fact that the backline players are scoring a heap better this year than they have in previous years. It pains me to say, because I don't think I was the biggest fan of Impey of all the... Like, I have a lot of sub-300K players, and Impey's not one of them, but he's certainly on the watch list this week.
I thought I was going to end up with a lot, but I think I only ended up with three. I ended up with Jordan Clark, Danaher, and Zeeble.
We'll finish with another sub-300K player to wrap up the main show, Dom Tyson. Got a question from Hellbent SCC.
Have you got Tyson as well?
Yeah, I got Dom Tyson. And Hellbent's asking, Dom Tyson for a stale loaf of moldy bread, a good trade option. And far out, just about anything would be better than Dom Tyson at this stage. He has to go, obviously, Mark.
I traded Dom 100% has to go. Just absolutely, based on what we've seen so far, does not look up to it. Yeah, just I'd be very surprised if he keeps his spot. I mean, he scored well in the past. It didn't seem like a terrible pick. It seemed like he could continue that. Maybe he does. But based on what we've seen so far, he does not look up to it. I traded him for some guy called, his last name is OEA from the Gold Coast. I don't even know how to say that. I know you're good at pronunciation, so maybe you want to have a crack. And I think that I would rather this Gold Coast guy on my field than Dom Tyson. Yeah, I'm pretty happy with not ending up starting him. And I've got a little bit of cash in the bank as well. I think that Dom Tyson would be number one on my list to get rid of this week. How do you feel about Paddy Dow? I know a lot of people are talking about ditching him.
He's a mid forward, so the flexibility is nice. At 200K, his break even still in the single digits this week. He still seems to be getting opportunity in decent spots around the ground. So just you have to prioritize your problems. And I think for myself, for example, Cripps and Tyson are bigger problems than Dow. So Dow probably gets to stick around for a little bit more. And this is a nice part about a sub 300K rookie. You can feel pretty shitty about Dow, but Dow versus Rowe moving forward, there's a decent chance that what you paid for Dow can come back in points on field if you persist with him. If I'd persisted with him for one extra week, it would have balanced out another 30 points in Dow's favor. But instead, I swapped a sweet, sweet Rowe and got a awesome 19. But yeah, I think Dow's less of an issue at 200K with the DPP than others. Certainly be happy with Impey, though, okay. I guess, at this stage. All right, Mark, we've covered enough. I think we need to go record the Patreon bonus. So we'll leave it at there.
Am I supposed to put my Patreon shirt on?
Yeah, that's it. No, there's heaps still left to cover, actually. I feel like we've barely scraped the surface on what is, like you said, a very big week of decision-making. Is there any final thoughts, anything we didn't get to cover, anything you want to leave our listeners with? This week, the trade options can really vary, right? Everyone's got two trades. They're mostly correction. Everyone starts off with rather different teams. We're not worried about our cadence. So the world's your oyster and makes it easy and hard to make decisions.
Would you recommend everyone trading twice this week?
I have been in situations when I looked back, not double trading in round three was a better move than trading. But because I sought value, I found the highest break even, like the lowest break even player, however you want to call it, side swapped some, in the end, fine rookies and premiums and got burnt for it later on. So no, absolutely not.
Like, there's players that I've definitely traded out after two rounds that I have regretted significantly. And like Rowe is a perfect example of that. That one week you're like, oh my God, he's a genius. He's going to be worth 500K. And after the second week, you're like, oh God, get him out of my team. There's some huge variability that we haven't seen the results of yet. It's interesting that you've looked back and thought that though. And because I think that we're playing this game for fun and trading's fun. Mm. And this is the one week where we get to make purely fun trades. So...
And therein lies the trap.
It is a bit of a trap. And I could definitely not trade this week and probably be fine with my team. So maybe I should think about
it. But you won't, Mark.
No. I'm double trading 100%. And I ditch Danger. Like, I'm going to be three trades down. That's fine.
Yeah, look, it's what I said about Danger with 30 trades last week. I think it's hard not to tinker with your team. Prioritize first mid-prices that have failed, and Dom Tyson falls into that camp. 240K averaging less than a rookie. Those you're always going to be fine on. And prioritize players that are carrying niggling injuries that you didn't know about. Hello, Patrick Cripps. So I've got my two quota perfectly fine. Yeah. Where you get into the shaky territory is, let's say I didn't have Cripps, I would probably end up trading Neil And that could be a mistake based on the conversations we've had. But, you know, that's my next problem. Or I could trade out. Taranto could still from here average 110. And I'll go like, why did I do that? And that's where, especially with the quality of information in the preseason, most players are not talking about missing out on Golden, Campbell, whatever. You could trade a Jordan in, trade out a Marlon Pickett, and then end up, you know, in a situation where Pickett comes back, scoring a huge amount. Jordan gets injured, and that's why these side swaps are dangerous. So tread with caution. I think you have enough to make your decisions off. If you want bonus content, patreon.com/supercoachcoach. It's been great to have you back on board, Mark. Missed you last week, so good to have a bit of a chat to our listeners. All the best for Correction Trade Week. Happy times, even if you have a shit team. You get to trade.
Marcus is up and about.
All right. See you, listeners. Don't want this get crazy. Don't want this get crazy.